In the second reading 2 weeks ago, St. John the Revelator tells us, as our brother in faith, that he shares in our distress and the endurance that we have in Jesus. In today's second reading, St. John returns to the theme of our distress, which he calls the time of great distress. He offers us encouragement in knowing that as we endure the distress, persevering to the end with Jesus' help, we will find ourselves in heaven with people from every nation, race, people, and tongue, including our loved ones. And the Lamb will shelter us and lead us to springs of life-giving water, and God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. But until we get there, Jesus invites us into the great distress. The original Greek word for great distress is wine press. The challenges of our world crush us like grapes in a wine press. And Jesus invites us to expect and to embrace this distress. The great distresses of your life and mine are those life-ravaging challenges that we take on in order to become our most authentic selves, to be loving companions to those around us by serving the causes of justice and compassion. In all this distress, Jesus promises to shepherd us by leading us and guiding us to help build his kingdom, by speaking words of encouragement to us as we find ourselves in distress, and by offering us fuller and more abundant life for ourselves as we work through the distress. My sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me, Jesus says in today's gospel. And no one can take us away from him, St. John adds. This great invitation into the wine press applies to all aspects of our lives. Challenges in your marriages, between children and parents, between adult children and parents, between and among Jesuits, some of whom are the most challenging creatures God has ever created. Between co-workers, between supervisors and supervised employees, everyone, including us who struggle for the reform of the institutional church. After all, God has made us a light to the Gentiles, that we may be an instrument of salvation to the ends of the world, St. Paul says in our first reading, quoting the prophet Isaiah. That us means all of us who believe and choose to follow Jesus into the great distress. Last Thursday, I found some hope in my distress when Pope Francis issued new norms to the world's cardinals, archbishops, and bishops to redress their poor handling of sexual abuse worldwide. Here are a couple of highlights of this 8-page document. You can look online for the document and summaries of it. Just be careful of the journalistic tendency to superficial and politicized reporting of complex matters. The norms require all cardinals, archbishops, and bishops to establish within 1 year one or more public, stable, and easily accessible systems of submission of reports of sexual abuse. They must guarantee confidentiality to those reporting and those affected. The norms allow anyone to submit a report to the local bishop or directly to the Vatican. The new norms prohibit any prejudice, retaliation, and discrimination against anyone who submits a report. The norms prohibit imposing an obligation to keep silent with regard to the contents of any person's report. Those who state that they have been harmed, together with their families, are to be treated with dignity and respect. They are to be welcomed, listened to, and supported, including through the provision of specific services, including spiritual and medical assistance. The norms list how investigations of accusations are to be carried out, including expecting church authorities to ask help from civil institutions and to protect the documents of investigations from destruction by church authorities. Investigations are to be completed within 90 days. Bishops' conferences are to cover the costs of investigations. These norms apply within the context of the rights and obligations established by state laws, particularly the reporting obligations to civil authorities by mandated reporters. These provisions respond directly to cardinals, bishops, and priests who have silenced victims, destroyed documents, and impeded investigations. I am prepared to believe that these norms are divinely inspired and that our prayers are being answered. But I'm not prepared to believe that the problem is solved. A clerical culture that gave rise to this crisis cannot be changed by new norms. The shepherds still don't smell like the sheep. In addition, I think it's a mistake to think that peacefulness, lack of distress, is the norm for human life. And it's a mistake to think that our lives are on hold until needed reforms are complete. Life is struggle. We might win a battle here and there, but for us who are faithful, thoughtful, gifted, believing Catholic people, struggle is the norm of life. The victory over sin, evil, and death is the Lord's, not ours, when the Father resurrected him. His will be the final victory at the end of time when he comes to set all things right. In the meantime, the struggle continues. Lucha, 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 Teresa of Avila is reported to have said as she reformed Carmelite monasteries in Spain at the time of Ignatius. Struggle, struggle, struggle. We have looked the sin, evil, and dysfunction of the church hierarchy in the face, and now must pray and struggle for yet more change. The Son of God moves off to war, a holy crown to gain, proclaims an old Protestant hymn of my childhood. His blood-red banner streams afar. Who follows in his train? Who best can drink his cup of woe, triumphant over pain? Who patient bears his cross below, who follows in his train? My sheep hear my voice, Jesus says in today's gospel. He sounds his clarion call to battle, the battle for truth, justice, and compassion. And he sounds that call to us today in this Mass. And he restores us by his communion with us here and now. Let's all respond generously today for the sake of the Church, our country, and our world.